Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. Now, we're excited to let you know that a very generous partner has stepped forward with a special $50,000 matching grant. That means any gift you give now will be doubled up to $50,000. But the grant expires at midnight on June 30th, so contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com and have your financial gift matched up to $50,000 or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called When You Feel Like Giving Up.
What do I do when I feel like giving up? I need to do the six things that are covered in this passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's get right into it. The first thing I need to do is I need to remember that heaven is watching me. Remember that heaven is watching me. Now, this is the very first thing the writer of Hebrews tells us when he's trying to give us encouragement to not give up. Verse 1, first part. Therefore, in the light of all these people, Abraham and Moses and Jacob and David and all these great saints of history, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, do you realize that your life is being watched? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this one, but let me just say it this way. Your life has an audience. Nothing you do is private. Nothing you do is personal. Nothing you do is secret. Heaven is watching. Now, we all know God sees everything. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, God, it doesn't miss a thing. Job 31:4, he sees everything I do and every step I take. God knows your ups, your downs. He saw you being formed in your mother's womb, saw you take your first breath. He saw you commit every sin, every good thing, all of the bad, every part of your life, he knows. He has every head on your hair numbered. He knows every thought you have. So nothing is hid from God. We know that. Other people may not know, but we know that God knows. But not only that, it says here, we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith. Your life has an audience. Now that even is sobering. The fact, I don't know how this worked, but evidently other people in heaven are watching too. Does that make you happy? No. The fact that Moses could be watching how you're handling your problems, or Abraham could be watching how you handle your problems and going, you think that's tough? You think that's hard? Try leading people out of slavery. You think your problem's a big deal? You know, try going to a foreign country you've never been to and starting a new nation. The Bible says your life is being watched from heaven. So don't give up. These people up there are not criticizing you, they're cheering you on. Now, the second thing is I must eliminate what doesn't matter. If I want to make it to the end of the race, I've got to do a little decluttering. I've got to eliminate what doesn't matter in my life so I can move forward. I've got to simplify my life, not hang on to a bunch of stuff. You know, if you're a cruise liner out in the water, you can go at a certain speed. If you add 100 lifeboats onto it and you're tugging it along, it's going to slow down. If you've got a battery and you plug one light bulb into it, the light bulb will go a long time. But if you plug 15, it drains it faster. If you plug 100 into it, it's going to drain it very quickly. As your pastor who loves you and cares for you, I'm concerned that you are maybe trying to do too much. If you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. And you can get so many irons in the fire, you put out the fire. And maybe what you need to do is a little spring cleaning spiritually and go, yeah, good thing, but I don't need to do that. Yeah, good thing, but I don't need to do that. Yeah, I just need to focus on the race because these things are slowing me down. You get too many things going on in your life, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to feel like giving up. Now, this is what the Bible says. Look at the second part of the verse. First, he says, since we're surrounded by a crowd of these witnesses, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. I want you to circle two words, weight and sin, because they're different, and these are the two things that slow you down in life. Weights slow you down, and sins slow you down. Now, what are these things? What are weights? A weight is not something that's wrong. It's not something bad. It's not something evil. It's just something good that slows you down. It's anything that's good that slows you down. It doesn't have to be bad. It could be a relationship. It could be a job. It could be an activity. It could be a sport that you're spending too much time doing and it's slowing you down from where God wants you to go. You see, a lot of things in life are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. So you need to understand that selection is the name of the game. If you want your life to count, you're going to have to learn how to get control of your time. And that means focusing on the majors, not majoring on the minors. Have you learned that you have to say no to some good things in life? You don't just have to say no to bad things. You have to say no to a lot of good things in order to finish the race to do what God wants you to do. You can die doing too many good things. You can drown doing too many good things. Some good things need not to be done just because they're good. It's like money. Just because you can afford it doesn't mean I should buy it. No, there is the discipline of saying no. You have to learn the middle words of the alphabet, N-O. Write this down. To grow, I must say no. To grow, I must say no. So next time somebody asks you to do something good, you stop, you pray about it, and then you say no. And you say, my pastor told me. Just blame me. Because if it's not part of the plan, you can be doing so many good things, they slow you down. These are called weights. You've got to declutter. Now, if you start slowing down and you find yourself slowing down spiritually, slowing down physically, slowing down relationally, you find yourself getting discouraged and you think, I'm not going to make it to the finish line. You need to stop and do a frank evaluation. So if you start to get discouraged, what do? You change what needs to be changed. It may be something simple. But let us lay aside every weight that slows us down, especially the sins. Now, sins certainly slow you down. If you're holding on to a grudge, you won't forgive that person, you're going to get discouraged. If you harbor anger in your heart, if you harbor guilt in your heart, and you have unconfessed sin in your heart, you're going to get discouraged. What is sin? Sin, you might write this down, is knowing what to do and not doing it. That's sin. Your conscience tells you sin. When you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that's sin. You say, where is that in the Bible? Well, it's in James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4, 17 says this. It's up here on the screen. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Well, that's going to slow me down too. I've got to remember that heaven is watching. I'm surrounded by, my life is being watched by witnesses. And I've got to eliminate the things that hold me back. The third thing I've got to do, if I'm going to make it to the finish line, is run God's race for me, not other people's race for me. I've got to run God's race for me, not others' race. You know, God loves you and everybody else has a wonderful plan for your life. And if you don't have a plan and you don't go with God's plan, then they're going to suggest their plan. Now, the Bible says, the third part of this verse, verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance. That's what we're talking about this weekend, how to endure. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Circle the phrase that God has set. Notice, I'm not supposed to run the race that other people have set for me. I'm not to run the race that culture has set before me. I'm not to run the race that my parents have set before me. I'm not even to run the race that I set for myself, because it may be unrealistic. I'm to run the race that God has set before me. When God created you, He created you with a plan for your life. You can miss that plan. How? Real simple. Do your own plan. Or drift. And you'll miss God's plan. God has a race for your life. And God has a race for the person sitting next to you that's different than yours. And God has a race for the person sitting next to them that's different from either of you. Now, let me say this. If you try to run somebody else's race, my boyfriend wants me to do this. My parents wanted me to do this. My wife wants me to do that. My husband, my whatever, my best friend thinks I should do this. If I run a race that other people try to put on me, I'm going to lose. I'm going to fail, and I'm not going to finish the race, because God doesn't give you enough strength to finish somebody else's race. And God did not put you on earth to run somebody else's race. God puts you on this earth to be you, not somebody else. And when you be you, that brings glory to God. And so you've got to stop living for the approval of other people. You see, you've got to run the race that God set for you. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I know what's God's race for my life? You look at your shape, S-H-A-P-E, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. What am I gifted to do? What do I love to do? What am I talented to do? What does my personality fit with? And what are my experiences, good and bad? Your shape determines the race you run. Rabbits aren't meant to fly, and eagles aren't meant to swim, and ducks aren't meant to run. Your shape determines what God wants you to do with your life. And when you get to heaven, God isn't going to say, why weren't you more like somebody else? He's going to say, why weren't you more you? So I've got to run the race that God has for me, not others. Otherwise, I'm going to get discouraged and give up. Number four. The fourth thing is I must focus on Jesus, not my circumstances. When I'm going through a tough time, when I feel like throwing in the towel, when I'm at the end of the rope, when I feel like I can't hold on, I need to focus on Jesus, not my circumstances. Not the problems, but the Savior. Not the situation, but God. Now, in verse 2, it says this. How do we run with endurance? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, what tough time you're going through, and it may seem unendurable right now. And you go, I can't handle this. I just can't handle it. To endure the unendurable, I must keep my eyes on the invisible.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
In a year that has caused millions to become more isolated than ever, dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it is clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is more important than ever. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us to continue reaching as many people as possible with Daily Hope for their lives. Your gift today will ensure we are able to keep doing just that. But we only have till midnight on June 30th. After that, we lose any part of the grant we haven't used. Please call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com today to give your gift so that those in need have access to the hope found in Jesus. we'll say thanks by sending you Rick's brand new Daily Hope Silver Scripture Box with 52 Bible verse memorization cards based on the Invisible War series. Remember, any gift you give today will be matched up to $50,000 till the end of this month. That's 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Corrie ten Boom and her sister, Betsy, were put in Auschwitz prison during World War II for hiding Jews. She wrote a book on it called The Hiding Place. And then they got caught, and though they were Christians, they were sent to the death camps along with the Jews they were hiding. Betsy died there. Corrie eventually got out. But she once said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. It all depends on what you have your eyes on. If you've got your eyes on your problem, it's no wonder you're discouraged. It's no wonder you're unfocused. It's no wonder you feel like giving up today. But if you've got your eyes focused on God, on Jesus, He's the Savior. He's the solution to your situation. And He will help you out. So what do? You remember what God has done for you. You remember what God's goodness to you in the past, and you want to remember God's presence right now and today, and God's power for the future. So you get your mind off yourself and onto God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Jonah chapter 2, verse 7. That's the story. You know the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Iraq to preach, to Syria, to Nineveh. And he said, I'm not doing that. In fact, he went the exact opposite. He got on a boat to go to the seaport in the coast of Spain. He's going the exact opposite direction of the way God wanted him to go. So God planned a little Mediterranean cruise for Jonah. And the Bible says he created a great fish. And when Jonah is thrown overboard by the sailors, this fish swallows him up. Now, by the way, it doesn't say whale. It just says great fish. It could have been. I don't know. But God could have created a fish with an apartment in it if you wanted to. If you can create the entire universe, you can create anything you want. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you don't have a problem. If God created the universe, you don't have a problem with miracles. He can do whatever He wants to. And so anyway, Jonah at the bottom of the ocean in chapter 2 prays his prayer of repentance, and he says in Jonah 2:7, when I had lost all hope, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord. You need to do that. When I had lost all hope, Jonah 2:7, I once again turned my thoughts to the Lord. You need to refocus. Now, the fifth step in overcoming discouragement, minimize the pain and maximize the profit. Minimize the pain of doing the right thing and maximize the profit. Yes, there's pain in getting in shape. Yes, there's pain in getting in spiritual shape. Yes, there's pain in getting your finance under control and getting out of debt. Yes, there's pain in anything that works in life, that matters in life. But you look at the long-term gain. You look at the reward. You minimize the pain. You maximize the profit. Jesus did this in verse 2. He, Jesus, was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Notice he's looking past short term. The joy that would be his afterwards. What is the joy that his afterwards? He knew that his death would cause the salvation of you and me. So he's doing it for our benefit. He's going through pain for somebody else's benefit. That's redemptive pain. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Now he's seated in the place of highest honor besides God's throne in heaven. You got to look past short-term thinking on anything that you want to change in your life to make it through that difficult period when you want to give up, and you want to give up on the marriage, and you want to give up on the dream, and you want to give up on the diet, and you want to give up on the job search, and you want to give up on adopting a baby, and you want to give up on whatever it is. You got to push through that, minimize the pain, and maximize the eventual profit. You might write this down. Play it down and pray it up. Play it down and pray it up. Play down the difficulty, play down the hard part, play down the pain, and play up the benefit of doing the right thing and staying with that marriage and going and getting some counseling and working it out. It's always more rewarding to resolve a relationship and repair a relationship than to replace it. Let me give you an example of this. I'll just read this to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about the pain he's gone through in serving the Lord. None of us come close to this. Listen to this. He's talking about being a missionary. He says, you know, I've worked hard. I've been put in jail more often. I've been whipped more times without number. I've faced death again and again. 5 times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. Now, imagine what that would look like on your back if you've been whipped 39 times. Times 5, that's how many lashes, scars you'd have on your back. 5 times I was given 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled many weary miles. I've traveled, faced dangers from flooded rivers and from robbers and dangers from my own people as well as the Gentiles. I've faced dangers in the cities, in the desert, and on stormy seas. I've faced dangers from men who claim to be Christians but aren't. I've lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. I've often been hungry and thirsty and gone many times without food. I've shivered from the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then he goes over, let me just read in the same book, same book, chapter 4. Here is his evaluation of all those problems. In spite of all this, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I'm minimizing the pain and maximizing the profit, the benefit, the reward. It's all a matter of perspective.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, in a year that has caused millions worldwide to become isolated, dealing with emotions like fear and anxiety at a heightened level, it's clear that access to the hope of God and His Word is more important than ever. At Daily Hope, we know how vital it is that as many people as possible find that hope as easily as possible. This month, we're excited to announce a $50,000 matching grant that will help us continue reaching out to as many people as possible with Daily Hope for their lives. You can help ensure that God's Word continues to be delivered to more and more people around the world with a financial gift to this ministry. Whatever amount you give will be doubled up to $50,000. Here's Rick to tell you more.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
Don't wait. This opportunity will be gone at the end of this month, and we'll miss out on any amount left over from the grant not matched. Just go to PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Today, when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Rick's brand new Daily Hope Silver Scripture Box with 52 Bible verse memorization cards based on the Invisible War series. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.